Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by DX Engineering. DX Engineering offers practically everything you need to outfit your shack, plus the fastest shipping in the industry. Most in-stock items ship the same day, Monday through Friday until 10 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit DXEngineering.com/HamNation. And by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life. That's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully, so you can be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. Get started at RocketMortgage.com/HamNation. And by ICOM. For more information, visit ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation.
This is Ham Nation, episode 328 for December 6, 2017. Santa's in the house. Good evening and welcome to another episode of Ham Nation. I'm George, W5JDX. Bob Heil could not be with us tonight, but he will be back next week. However, we do have our friend from out on the West Coast, where it might be a little bit smoky right now. Hi, Gordo.
Hi there, George, and hi to Ham Nation viewers and listeners. It's been quite a day, quite a couple of days. We've had Santa Ana winds, and this is from a high-pressure system. When a high-pressure system settles over Southern California, it rolls down the mountains, compressing the air, getting the air hot and getting the air windy and making it very fire-prone. Right now, we've got about five fires burning throughout Southern California. And while we're making progress, 100,000 plus acres are part of this five-fire network. And they're surrounding all of Southern California, and our fire personnel are doing a great job in keeping them from destroying as many more homes. Unlike San Francisco, ours is fueled by those same strong winds, and like San Francisco, our paid responders are doing a good job. Ham operators are doing the best they can, and those hams that are seeing the most action are those that have trained regularly with their served agency, whether it's a Red Cross or with emergency groups. I'm part of Orange County Firewatch, sponsored by Irvine Conservancy, and the Firewatch, what we do is we set up with our vehicles in a very prominent spot throughout our local county, and we are there as a deterrent. We're also there to spot fires and also there to warn folks coming through our fire watch area to be careful about doing anything that could start a fire. So it's a big deal, and those hams that have trained ahead of time, hours and hours that we've all put in, they're the ones that are getting the bulk of the action. And we have three more days of this terrible fire weather. On a happier note, this weekend, we're going to hear a special event station coming on the air. It's not a contest. It's the USS Oklahoma, as well as the submarine Batfish. And from what Mitch, KE5HWW, says, president of the USS Batfish and USS Oklahoma, listen for them on the air for a great QSL card. Not a specific frequency, but tune them in this Friday and Saturday. The call sign WW2OK, that's a good one for Oklahoma, and WW2SUB for the Batfish that's on display. So it's going to be a busy weekend for everyone, and let's just hope that in Southern California we get these fires put out real soon. George, back to you.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you a question about that, Gordo. I know it's a very dry climate out there. You don't get rain very often. This time of year, do you get any rain? Is there any chance of any relief there?
No rain at all. We've had 0.03, that is decimal, 0.03 inches of rain. That's nothing. So our fuel, fire potential is sky high. In fact, many of the fire personnel said that they have never seen fire conditions as worse as it is right now here in Southern California. So like San Francisco, we're now having those high winds that are spreading the fire everywhere.
Wow. Well, I hope y'all get some relief there soon. And everybody stay safe out there. That's got to be a tough situation. We don't deal with that much in this part of the country, certainly not on that scale. So good luck to everyone out there. And thanks to everyone who's helping in the effort there to combat it. Don Wilbanks down to my south. How are you this week?
Well, trying to stay warm, George. We've had the cold front come through and brought us a lot of rain. You know, speaking of dry conditions, I think Louisiana, or at least New Orleans, had the driest November on record. I think they had maybe less than a half an inch of rain through the whole month of November. Just insane. And speaking of the California fires, I'm looking at a Twitter direct message from Dr. T, who will be with us tonight via video. She said, they're surrounded on all sides by fire. The Skirball fire is just 5 miles from us. I drove through the Sepulveda Pass, often on Skirball Road, all the time. Their daughter's school is closed for the next 2 days, and she says it's like Dante's Inferno over here. So all of those affected by the California wildfires were certainly keeping you in our prayers. I wanted to talk a little bit about WTWW. You know, they're kind enough to simulcast Ham Nation on 5085 and also 12.105. Well, I got a message from Ted Randall, and he says for me to tell you to dust off your classic radio, tune it into WTWW, and take a picture, and then send it to him. The email address is email@wtww.us. There are prizes for the coolest looking decked out radios. They do this every year. So decorate it for Christmas, show it, tune to WTWW, and send it to email@wtww.us and get in on the fun. Also, you can say Merry Christmas to the world on the big massive shortwave, WTWW. Their toll-free number is 833-390-5085. That's 833-390-5085. You can call in and leave your Christmas greeting and message on an answering machine. You can mention family, radio, club news, anything you want to mention at all, and WTWW will air it for you as a Christmas greeting. So by all means, take advantage of that. Like I said, Dr. T will be here in the Newsline segment via video. Good to have her back on the program. And I'm fighting a little bit of a cold, and you can hear a little bit of raspiness in Tamitha's voice as well. So hopefully not too many people have the flu. The flu is running rampant down here right now. I think Louisiana and Alabama are the two hot spots. And of course, I work in Louisiana and live in Mississippi, so I'm right in the middle of it. I'm trying to fight it as well, but we'll hopefully muddle through. And for those of you out there maybe suffering with this cold and the flu, we certainly right there with you. Well, let's talk to Pete Thompson. Pete Thompson is playing Santa Claus tonight. Pete, welcome to Ham Nation, and what's going on in your world tonight?
Well, I tell you, Sanidad Central is very busy. We have been talking to good boys and girls throughout North America, and it's been a great experience. We're in our 12th year of connecting boys and girls to Santa Claus at the North Pole, and I got to tell you, we've never had more fun than this year. 3916 is the frequency on 80 meters. We are there every night at 7:30 p.m., and it is a great time. We invite anybody to get children in your shack. Third-party rules and regs, of course, apply. Connect them with Santa Claus. We're here every night through and including Christmas Eve, and it's a great time. The only bad news, guys, I've been looking for your names on the good children list, Don, Gordo, George, Bob, and they're nowhere to be found. So I'm not sure what to tell you.
Oh, no.
We could do a deeper dive into the server, but I at this point, it does not look like you are on the list. So anyway, we've had a lot of fun with Santanet. And, you know, this is our 12th year now, so we're getting a little bit of a system down. It started, you know, 12 years ago when just a couple of us were on 80 meters one Christmas Eve, and somebody brainstormed, hey, what if you relay in Santa for my child and I could do it for you? And so from those very humble beginnings, we started doing it every year. And this year we should be on pace for 1,000 children to talk to Santa Claus on 3916.
Wow. Just amazing. Well, Pete, you guys do a great job. I've tuned in several times, of course. Well, you know, there's no hope for me, so there's no use for me to even try to check in and beg Santa for forgiveness, because, you know, I'll get coal. Actually, well, I may not get coal. This is a I don't know. Leave it to me to be inappropriate, but 1 year for Christmas at a radio station, before I lost a lot of weight, they decided they were going to do live remotes with Santa Claus, and so they asked me if I wanted to be Santa Claus. So we went and got a Santa Claus suit, beautiful suit, and I borrowed it for Christmas Eve. Took it to my in-laws' house. We were taking pictures of, you know, Santa by the fireplace and Santa eating cookies and Santa, you know, under the tree and everything. And this is back in the days of film cameras. And my mother-in-law said, "Well, I've got one more shot. What do we do?" So I. This is embarrassing. I mooned the camera. She took it, and I've used that picture many times on Christmas cards. In fact, I even wrote a verse for when I did the Christmas cards, and that verse went, "Good little children get candy and toys. Bad little that's the way it went. Good girls and boys get candy and toys. Lumps of coal go to the grumpy. Bad little children get something too. It's not coal, but it's lumpy." And I believe that's probably what put me on the terminal. That's probably what put me on the terminal bad boy list. So, yeah, there's no point in me even begging Santa or any elf or reindeer or anything else for forgiveness.
Well, Don,
you guys
do a
wonderful job. So just thank you for being there.
Well, Don, I just want to say it's a good thing you're not in the Senate right now, because we would have some issues that we would be talking through as these aerial shots of your mooning made the internet. Oh, I want to invite everybody to come by. A couple of tips about checking into SantaNet. Friday, Saturday are very busy nights. So if you want to get on Monday through Thursday, actually Sunday through Thursday are perfect. The week of Christmas gets busy, but we're there every night, 7:30 p.m. Central on 3916. Now, we do ask you to do a pre-net check-in, and you can check in either via our Facebook page, which I think they had up just a second ago. Our Facebook page is Facebook search 3916 SantaNet. There you go. You can do a check-in on the Facebook page. We have the current net for that day posted. There's tonight's net that we just concluded. So you can check in there, names and ages of your children and your call sign and location. Nice shot of Santa there. And, and back, by the way, Don, send us yours and we'll add that to our rotation.
I don't think you want that. We'd have to get the censored slide out for that.
Well, yeah, with the black bar on it, yeah. So the other thing you can do, if you're not a Facebook person, and there are people out there, believe it or not, that don't like Facebook, you can send an email directly to me, and my email is ke5ggy@gmail.com, Kilo Echo 5 Golf Golf Yankee at gmail.com. And while I have the floor here, I do want to thank Ted and his crew at WTWW for their support. They have been big advocates of SantaNet, and they've interviewed us already. And you guys have been, so good to us. So good that we're going to try to lobby Santa Claus for a reconsideration of your bad child status. Don't know how well. we'll work on it. Okay.
I need all the help I can get. So I appreciate any advocacy you can supply.
Prayers are coming your way. Let's just put it that way.
I can't believe I told that story. That's horrible. All right. Well, Santa Pete, thanks a lot. We appreciate you. And we hope you guys break 1,000 this year on the kid check-ins on the SantaNet. 3916. Good stuff. We appreciate you being here.
Thank you. God bless and Merry Christmas from 3916 and the SantaNet. Ho, ho, ho.
Merry Christmas, Pete. All right, let's gracefully, while I trip, I'll gracefully trip over towards Gordon and where it's hot, and which is probably where I'm going. Gordon, tell us what's going on in the short shots, will you? And save my bacon. I probably shouldn't have said
bacon.
Well,
about a week ago, we thought getting all loosened up for the holiday season, not realizing we were going to get hit with all these firestorms, we would head to the beach. So, Victor, if you want to take us to the beach, and here we go with Thanksgiving. And we worked, many of you, on the air at the beach. And let's see, let me get my little beeper going here. That's Susie, and that's Chip. No, that's Janet and Chip. Susie's getting the photos. And we were at the beach getting set up to do a little high frequency. And, of course, we got to have the wood and all the trimmings for Thanksgiving Day. And we were in luck again in that the weather prevailed and Thanksgiving looked like it was going to be a great day at the beach. The beach was terribly crowded. There was maybe 12 people on 10 miles of sand. There's Susie getting ready to do the big canopy. And as you can see all the way down, we pretty much had the sand to ourselves on Thanksgiving mid-morning. All right, first thing, get the canopies up. And because this is a ham radio theme, there you go. We're going to talk about ham radio. We wanted up on 10 meters and 15 meters, realizing that neither band had been cooperating real well a few days before. But let me tell you, Chip, K7JA and Janet, they have a way of opening up a band that would otherwise be dead. First of all, our support are the military poles, and one has to be very careful if you pound them into the sand or into anything that you don't booger up the end. So Chip, with a mallet, is taking good care because we then needed to strong arm more poles on top of this pole to get the 10-meter and the 15-meter antenna in place. This is all homebrew that Chip does, and here Chip is putting the elements onto the 10-meter antenna. And again, it's a homebrew antenna, and you can tell it's a hot day out there, a shorts affair. This would be our beam for 10 meters. And the SWR came out very well. Now, as we were doing the antennas, the ladies, there's Susie getting ready with turkey fixings. The ladies are getting things all squared away. Here comes the 15-meter dipole. Now, as you're looking at this, we did one thing wrong. So we'll let you analyze that in the chat room. But there'll be a problem on 15, easily cured. But that's the 15-meter dipole. And again, with angle bracket and some inexpensive, pretty shabby-looking coax, but it metered out fine, it would be a dipole. And, of course, with any dipole, you've got to have the choke. There's a choke. And our problem is, and we found out once we got on the air, and Chip asked me, he says, should I do it this way or the other way? And I go, oh, no, I got to do it this way. What was I thinking? Yeah, if you wanted to work a station first on 10 and then take them down to 15, you'd have to rotate 90 degrees because we've got the dipole running along the boom when we should have had the dipole 90 degrees in the same plane and the same direction as the driven element of the 10-meter beam. But nonetheless, we made contact. First thing, of course, is do a little SWR check. And yeah, when the antenna's down on the deck, the SWR is going to look a little funny, but you can always tell if you're a couple feet off the ground whether or not your antenna is somewhat resonant. Yeah, 1.2, I'll buy that. So we're good to go. And then the job of lift, and then a third person comes in and inserts the pole, and we get that up, and then lift, and then another insertion of the pole. And we got it up at least a quarter wavelength, maybe even a half a wavelength after about three or four of those poles. So we were up and running. Chip immediately got on the air, heated up the ionosphere. 10 meters came to life. And many of you who heard about it on Ham Nation, we worked. And there is our BioNO battery, as well as the BioNO solar panel. And we were rolling. And Chip is great on both voice as well as CW as well as digital. A little hard to see digital out in the daylight, but let me tell you, the big ICOM 9100, this thing played great. And good thing, because Pat Marcy, also a ham of ICOM America, who heads up the aviation and the marine division, was there. And she had a good chance to take advantage of her great radio. Well, then it's time for turkey. Well, how do you do a turkey on the beach? Well, you don't drop it in the sand, but rather you drop it into boiling oil. And as it's going in there, there's Janet on the right. She is the store manager of Ham Radio Outlet, Anaheim, California. And she's putting the final touches, just the right amount of oil, and boosh, it's in. It's boiling. And that's time for Chip and Gordo to work more DX. And we look a little funky with that pretty strange umbrella, but nonetheless, we didn't get sunburned. And we worked a few stations on 10, and then we went down to 15. And then after I discovered I screwed up and didn't put the dipole in the right direction, we turned it 90 degrees, and whambo. He was working South America. He was working CW to Asia. We made plenty of contact. So there it is. It looks good, although I should have rotated that dipole about 90 degrees. Then we wouldn't run ourselves out moving the antenna back and forth. Just in time, about an hour or so later, out comes the turkey, perfectly cooked on the outside and tender and moist on the inside. And there's Pat Marcy with a big smile. There's Chip. He just got through working a station in Asia, maybe Japan. I can't remember where. But we could pretty much work everybody we could here on portable batteries from BioEno, as well as the solar panel. And we had a great day out on the beach working stations. And as you could tell, he was served at the radio. And Chip is absolutely a fantastic operator. He literally pulls DX out of the ethers. There was that 9100 that we've taken to Quartz Fest for the last six or so years. Thanks, Ray, for the loan. And this radio continues to keep perking. And finally, the best part of it all, this is not an optical illusion. Off to the left is not a spit of land, but rather an inversion and a mirage. It's called a sea mirage, inferior mirage, and we're actually seeing a reflection of all the coastline off to the right, extending out to the blue Pacific to the left. So that's our Turkey Day story, and we encourage all of you to maybe this weekend just put up something portable and experiment, because those are the best operators, those that regularly get on the air and just sort of put it up in the air and get started. So that's our story, and let's now check out and see what DX Engineering is doing, because they've added so much to their latest catalog.
First, a quick question for you, Gordon. Were you guys running barefoot, or did you have an amplifier out there?
We looked for an outlet, but there was no outlet at 220 volts, not even 110, and we didn't dare weigh down the batteries with the solid state amp, so we were absolutely barefoot in the sand.
That was kind of a stupid question, wasn't it? Well, anyway, if it's time to add an amplifier to your shack, these guys here, they've got what you need. DX Engineering has many options and a range of prices to give you the signal clarity you've always wanted for a more enjoyable experience on the air. Sometimes you just need a little more fire in the wire. Whether you're breaking through a pileup or working a long-distance DX station, DX Engineering carries a great selection of solid-state HF and VHF amps from RM Italy, a company with 40-plus years of experience producing amplifiers for shack-based, mobile, and handheld radio. The new BLA-600 is a wideband, low-noise, fully automatic HF amplifier covering all the HF bands and 6 meters, 1.8 to 54 megahertz. Features up to 500 watts SSB PEP, fast and silent pin diode switching, consistent high linear RF output, and low input drive requirements. RM Italy's 160 through 10 meter HLA-305 HF linear offers a boost for QRP operators or a nice power increase for other rigs with typical output levels. The HLA-305 supplies a nominal 200 watts of continuous output on all HF bands with only 10 watts of drive. And each of the unit's four MRF-455 power transistors deliver up to 60 watts of RF output at frequencies up to 30 megahertz. The HLA-305 makes a great choice for operators using a mobile or portable radio. DX Engineering also carries and is very proud to carry AECOM's latest HF Plus 6 linear amplifiers, the 2100 and 1200S. The 2100 is AECOM's most user-friendly amplifier to date, featuring an intuitive controls, OLED display, straightforward operation. It's a great choice for base stations and MCOM. The rugged 1,500-watt output 2100 uses a powerful tuning aid and an automatic input attenuator that lets you quickly match input impedance to the tube load impedance. You can also virtually enjoy silent QSK, and advanced safety features can withstand up to 400 watts of reflected power and up to 100 milliseconds duration of drive spikes. Compact and rugged and easy to operate, the 1200S is a solid-state RF 1,000-watt amp. It's a reliable choice for D-Expeditions. It's compatible with virtually all modern radios, requires less than 50 watts of drive power, features a large color display, intuitive menus, onboard monitoring of 10 parameters. These are just amazing amplifiers. And DX Engineering also offers a wide array of amplifier accessories, including modern manufactured tubes for power amplifiers, perfect for building your own, repairing, or upgrading your gear. You no longer need to test and match tubes into sets because DX Engineering's 572B power tubes for power amplifiers are reliable, well-made choice for use in all types of RF power amps, manufactured to close tolerances and in all installation attitudes, including horizontal, diagonal, and vertical. These high-quality tubes are direct replacements for any 572B RF amplifier. Other amplifier accessories available from DX Engineering include interface and keying cables, current protectors, commutators, equipment covers, and modification kits. If you've got an amplifier, DX Engineering has what you need to keep it on the air, or just, again, all the new amplifiers that they carry, upgrade or even buy your first amp. DX Engineering ships faster than anybody else in the industry. Most orders placed by 10 p.m. Eastern are shipped the same day. Proven products and expert advice. DX Engineering helps you shrink the globe. Request your catalog or shop online 24/7, 365 at dxengineering.com/hamnation. And we thank DX Engineering for being a part of what we do here on Ham Nation. This is a great catalog. If you don't have it, go online and order it, because just amazing products and good stuff from the best people in the ham radio retail industry. And look, there's a nice picture of them all right there on the back. They're great. Great, 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 great people. Love these guys. I got to meet them a couple of years ago when I went up there to Ohio. And if you're ever up in the Talmadge area, you definitely need to go and see the fine folks at DX Engineering. Why don't we get into the news of the week now from Amateur Radio Newsline. From Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2092, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, December 6, 2017. NASA, the U.S. Space Agency, has big plans to celebrate its milestones via ham radio.
On Monday, the 11th of December, NASA has scheduled a launch for an adventure that is going to take the better part of a year to complete. This event involves radios, not rockets. NASA on the Air, or NOTA, is the year-long celebration of a variety of NASA milestones. Special event stations operated by ham radio clubs located at different NASA centers will be on the air marking such milestones as the agency's 60th anniversary, the 50-year anniversary of the first manned orbit around the moon, and two decades since the International Space Station's first elements entered low Earth orbit. Even though most of the events happen next year, mark your December calendars now. NOTA kicks off on the 11th of December, the 45th anniversary of the day Apollo 17 touched down on the lunar surface. It was the last of the agency's manned moon landings. Successful contacts for all events will be sent commemorative QSL cards. Hams can also expect to receive special certificates noting each NASA club station contacted, as well as where and in what mode. There will be a scoring system with points awarded for each band and mode, whether it's phone, digital, or CW, or even satellite or meteor scatter. And it goes without saying that contacts with amateur radio aboard the International Space Station definitely count. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
Our favorite ham radio stories this time of year are about the magic of Santa nets.
As any kid will tell you, the best kind of Santa is the one who doesn't make you wait until December 25th, right? Well, we've got one Santa who's already here. The nightly Santa net went on the air on Friday, the 24th of November, and will be available every night at 7:30 p.m. Central Time through Christmas Eve. The tradition is into its 12th year and is operated by the 3916 Nets, the Rag Chew Crew, the Tailgaters, and the Freewheelers. The pre-net check-ins begin nightly at 7:15 p.m. Central Time and are also accepted on the Santa Nets Facebook page. Find Santa each night on 3.916 megahertz. No milk and cookies needed, but don't be on the naughty list. Please observe all FCC rules regarding third-party traffic. For Amateur Radio Newsline in Aiken, South Carolina, I'm Kevin Trotman, N5PRE.
Our final story this week is about Santa Claus again. But wait, this is in Australia, where the search for Santa is getting a bit of an amateur radio twist.
When it comes to amateur radio direction finding at this time of the year, even Santa can be pretty foxy about it. Perhaps it's because Santa is the fox during this exercise, which is happening on the 15th of December. It's the annual Townsville Amateur Radio Club Monster Christmas Lights Tour, when mobile shacks make their way along a route to a secret destination, all the while monitoring 2 meters to receive instructions from Santa. Yes, Santa's calling the shots as all the hams take their festive trip around the illuminated city of Townsville, Australia. Where is Santa headed? Ah, that's the secret. But by 10 p.m, all will be revealed. Organiser Gavin VK4ZZ is no humbug. He'll make sure everyone gets an eyeful as well as an earful. Handhelds will be provided on loan if hams don't have one available. Do bring your own water, however. Sleigh bells are not expected to be ringing in the summer heat. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm John Williams, VK4JJW.
For the rest of this week's Amateur Radio News, please listen to the full Amateur Radio Newsline report online on a repeater near you or on shortwave radio station WTWW at 9930 and 5085 kilohertz. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for 4 decades and counting at www.arnewsline.org. With Paul Brown, WD9GCO, Kevin Trotman, N5PRE, John Williams, VK4JJW, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team across the globe. I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW. See you next time here on Ham Nation. Now here's the solar update with Dr. Tamitha Scove.
We're coming down from a solar storm that was a little bit of a fizzle, and the solar flux is in the dumps again. Will it ever end? Those stories and more in the news this week. Solar activity wanes just a little bit, at least for the next couple days. We're coming down from a solar storm that didn't quite give us as much as we expected. It came from this coronal hole, which has given us some decent storms in the past. But this time, I think it's beginning to die out a little bit. But the fun's not completely over, as we have another finger from that same coronal hole that's going to be rotating into the Earth's strike zone here in the next 3 or 4 days. So that could give us, once again, a little bit of solar storming, probably not too strong, but it'll keep us on our toes. Meanwhile, the other story is the fact that we have no active regions on the Earth-facing disk right now, and the solar flux has hit the tanks again. We're back into poor conditions. Will this ever end? Well, actually, it might. We do have an active region that's going to be rotating into Earth view here in probably the next 3 days, maybe 4 days. So we might get a little boost in solar flux starting then, and it will continue to boost over that next week or so and bring us back up into marginal conditions for you amateur radio operators. Switching to your M-flare threat meter, you can see the solar flux continues to be incredibly low. There is nothing going on, folks. If this were an EKG, the sun would be a corpse. We are well below the B floor. There's no flares. How could we have any flares? We don't even have any sunspots on the Earth-facing disk right now. But luckily, this will change. We do have one active region that will be returning to Earth view here in the next week. So solar flux will rise just a little bit along with this X-ray flux that you see here, and that means we will pop back into marginal conditions for you amateur radio operators and hopefully get you some propagation. Switching to your solar storm conditions, you can see over the past couple weeks, we've really been kind of sitting at unsettled conditions. There were a couple times we actually bumped up to active conditions. This was back on the 25th due to almost getting kind of like grazing a solar storm and some fast wind. Again on the 28th and again on the 30th, we just weren't able to keep any sustained activity going. Then things quieted down until about the 4th, when we finally got hit by some decent fast wind, and it was sustained. It engulfed Earth, and we bumped up to minor storm conditions on the 5th. Now, granted, this wasn't as strong a storm as we had hoped for. We expected a moderate level storm, but it did at least give us some decent aurora for a little while. I know your aurora photographers wanted more, but now we've kind of quieted down. But don't expect that to last. There's a good chance that we will bump back up to storm conditions starting around the 10th when we get hit by the fast wind from that second finger of the coronal hole. Switching to your solar storm conditions and aurora possibilities over the coming week, we are coming down from that fast wind that we've been dealing with over the last couple days. NOAA's expecting at high latitudes to reach active conditions with about a 20% chance of a minor storm. At mid latitudes, we're only expecting unsettled conditions right now with about a 10% chance of active, maybe 15% chance of active conditions. But this should settle down over the next couple days and in through the weekend. And then at the beginning of next week, we should get that fast one from that other finger from the coronal hole, and that could bump us back up to storm conditions, possibly early in the week. Switching to your solar flare and particle radiation storm outlook over the coming week, everything is in the green when it comes to solar flares. We don't really have any active regions. We've got a tiny one that's emerging on the Earth-facing disk right now, and it is not a threat for big flares. So everything remains in the green. What we do have, unfortunately, is that we've dropped back into the poor conditions for radio propagation because our solar flux levels are so low. Hopefully within the latter part of this week and into early next week, we'll start seeing those solar flux levels rise back into the marginal levels for you amateur radio operators as that old region rotates back into Earth view. So although the space weather this week is beginning to wane, we won't have a lull for very long. For you aurora photographers, we have another finger of a coronal hole that's going to be rotating into the Earth strike zone here in the next few days, and that could bring us some storm conditions again beginning the beginning of next week. Now, we also have another coronal hole that's going to be rotating into Earth view, and that could bring us another storm probably the week following. Now, regarding you amateur radio operators, we have that old active region that's going to be rotating into Earth view here in the next 4 days or so, and that should bump up the solar flux levels and give you a chance to get back into marginal levels for radio propagation. So we sure do have a lot to smile about, even though we are continuing to move closer to solar minimum. I'm Tamitha Scove. Thank you for watching.
Good stuff, Dr. T. Thanks for being here with us tonight. And of course, we're keeping you and all of our West Coast friends in our thoughts and prayers to stay away from the fires. So many people have lost their homes. And, man, here, right at Christmas, is just, you hear about it all the time. You know, someone leaving a candle lit or a Christmas tree going up or space heaters. My God, space heaters are the worst. But, man, to lose your home in a wildfire like that, I've seen just some incredibly scary pictures coming out of California. And we're keeping all you folks in our prayers, that's for sure. We get into smoke and solder, but first I want to tell you about Rocket Mortgage. Everybody needs a mortgage at some point in their life, and Rocket Mortgage realized that the mortgage experience wasn't keeping up with the times. It had a couple of problems. It was dated, and it was not client-focused, and it absolutely needed to be. It also needed a technological revolution. That's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. Rocket Mortgage gives you the confidence you need when it comes to buying a home, which can be scary, or refinancing your existing home loan, which can be scary, and it doesn't need to be. It's simple, allowing you to fully understand all the details and be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you, and that's what it's all about. It's convenient. Your trusted partners allow you to share your financial information with Rocket Mortgage at the touch of a button. It's extremely powerful. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, Rocket Mortgage is able to perform thousands of calculations in seconds, and based on your income, assets, and credit, Rocket Mortgage can analyze all of the home loan options for which you qualify and find one that is just right for you. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. To get started, just go to rocketmortgage.com/hamnation. Rocket Mortgage, all one word, rocketmortgage.com/hamnation. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLSconsumerAccess.org, number 3030. And Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans, we thank you for your support of Ham Nation. Time to get into the smoke and solder thing, and provided George doesn't burn his house down. Well, no, your friend Jim probably isn't over there, so you're probably safe. What are we talking about tonight, George?
Well, tonight, you know, I thought maybe a timely subject would be a little discussion on how to connect that new microphone to your rig, because, you know, there's probably going to be some hams through the Christmas season here who are going to be getting new microphones, and yep, or maybe a mixer or something they want to connect to their rig. And it can be a little confusing if you don't know the difference between balanced and unbalanced audio. So we're going to take a look at that.
This week on Smoke and Solder, we're going to begin by reviewing balanced and unbalanced audio.
So you just bought a new microphone. You unbox it, and it looks great.
Surely you will sound like a radio god now.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Then you turn it around and look at the connector on the end. Oh no, it's got three connections, and your radio only has two. You think,
which two do I use?
And after a little while, you've tried all the connections, two at a time. You hear static, noise, and hum. But you never hear any audio. That's because you're connecting a balanced microphone to an unbalanced input. Fear not, there's a correct way to do this, but let's discuss the difference between the two first. An unbalanced circuit has one signal lead and a ground. The ground lead is the shield, and the center conductor is the signal lead. A balanced circuit has two leads and a ground. One signal lead is connected to the plus terminal of the source, and the other is connected to the minus. The ground lead is connected to the shield, of course. Electrical signals must have a complete path. To illustrate this, a battery has two terminals, but both must be connected to the load before current will flow. It's the same for an audio signal. For an unbalanced circuit, audio from one side of the microphone element is sent to a radio over the center conductor. To complete the circuit, the other side of the microphone element is connected to the ground lead. Since an electrical signal must have a complete path to be transferred, audio travels down both of these leads. In a balanced circuit, the positive half of the signal from one side of the microphone element is sent down one center conductor to the equipment, and the negative half of the signal, which is 180 degrees out of phase from the first, is connected to the other center conductor. The ground lead merely connects the ground of the microphone case to the ground of the equipment. No microphone signal is present on the ground. Now let's talk about noise and radio frequency interference, or RFI. For an unbalanced circuit, when noise is present in the vicinity of the cable, some is induced into both the shield and the center conductor. A mic signal is very low level and must be amplified in the radio by a preamp, so the noise is amplified as well as the intended audio signal. For a balanced circuit, some noise is induced into the shield and both center conductors. Since the shield does not carry audio, that noise is not much of a factor. And since the audio is on two balanced conductors, which are out of phase with each other, when the noise arrives at the preamp, it's canceled. Obviously, a balanced signal is the best choice for keeping noise and RFI out of your microphone signal. So why don't our radios have balanced mic inputs? Well, this is mainly due to the cost and the fact that since our radios usually have a short mic cable, not as much noise is induced as would be on a longer cable. How can we connect a balanced microphone to an unbalanced mic input? Simple. If we're using an unbalanced cable, which has one center conductor, we connect the negative lead from the mic element to the shield and the positive lead to the center conductor. If we're using a balanced cable, which has two center conductors, we connect the negative lead to the shield at the unbalanced end of the cable. Now, what if we want to use a mixer to feed the radio? We can use the connections just described to connect balanced to unbalanced, but
we find that the audio is very distorted.
That's because the line level signal from the mixer is way too hot for the radio's microphone input. If we turn down the level on the mixer so we don't overdrive the radio, we find that the mixer's VU meter reads very low, and we probably have some noise, namely hiss, on the transmit audio. We need to pad down the audio from the mixer to an acceptable level so it can operate in its sweet spot while not overloading the radio's mic input. Resistors can be used for this purpose to create a pad, but I prefer to use a potentiometer. This will work in many cases, but there is a possibility that you could have hum from a ground loop or RFI entering the radio. The best way to interface a mixer is to use a 600 to 600 ohm transformer to isolate the mixer from the radio and a pot to pad the audio to the appropriate level. When you do this, you'll only connect the shield at one end of the cable, or else you might have a ground loop. However, if you've got a problem with RFI, you might have to connect the shield at both ends. So my rule of thumb is, if you're connecting a microphone, the level is so low that you must use the shield. Since the mic itself is not grounded, there shouldn't be a problem with ground loops. If you're connecting something at a line level, though, try it without the shield first. Also, you should connect the mixer's chassis to your station ground system. Most importantly, though, when combating RFI, do whatever works. Now here's a tip for ICOM radio owners. Instead of using a separate connector pin, ICOM rigs have phantom power for condenser microphones on the microphone audio lead. You'll need to block this DC voltage from reaching your dynamic microphone or outboard audio gear by placing a 1 microfarad capacitor in series with the lead. Failing to do this could lead to undesirable consequences.
Well, there you go. That's an oldie but goodie from March of 2014. I thought it was about time we covered that again because, you know, it's that time of year. People are going to be adding some new accessories to their rigs there. And on the last photo that we saw there with the drawing of the capacitor and the microphone line there, I showed the positive going to the end toward the rig. That's if you use an electrolytic capacitor. The best capacitor you could use there would be maybe a 1 microfarad unpolarized capacitor. They're a little bit harder to find, but if you can, use a non-polarized one. And if not, then use a regular electrolytic and just put the positive toward the rig because, there's going to be a higher voltage on that side on the positive direction coming out of the rig. Okay, got something we're going to give away tonight. Well, a couple of somethings and sort of in line with what we've been talking about here. But I did want to mention coming up this Friday night at 8 Central, 0200 UTC, Tommy and I are going to be shooting the next Amateur Logic TV. It's going to be our special Christmas edition. And we're going to have our friend Mike Morneau, VE3MIC, join us. And, you know, Mike's been doing that with us for the last few years. And it's always, we have an awful lot of fun there. So if you're looking for something to do Friday night, come join us live.amateurlogic.tv. A good time will be had by all. Okay, you know, last week we talked a little bit about, a lineman splice. And I showed you, you know, how to create a lineman splice, a really good wire splice for wires that are going to be under strain, like your antenna leads, or not the leads, but the antenna itself. Anytime you got, two wires that are putting against each other, lineman splice, preferred way to go. But then I showed you another splice. I just took two pieces of wire and twisted them together. And I asked the question, what is the name for this type of splice? Well, we had a winner, and a lot of folks said it was a poor splice, a bad splice, just, and I'll agree. That is, that's not my favorite kind of splice. However, if you've ever done any house wiring or anything like that, put in a ceiling fan or anything, then you've probably used that kind of splice because that's the kind of splice that you're going to use with a wire nut. That's about the only thing that'll work with a wire nut. So there you go. Of course, you won't be pulling on that. If you do, you know, you're probably going to pull those two wires apart. So not a good splice for anything that's got any stress on it. Well, our winner was Glenn Wendt, W3WWT. And he said, George, the name of that splice, the one that I showed last week, two wires twisted together, is a rat tail splice. So congratulations, Glenn. We're going to give you one of Gordo's books. Gordo is here this week, so, I used to try to give him away while he's not around, but I got busted this week. So you can take your choice of the excellent technician, general, or extra class manual there and do some studying and upgrade. I don't know what class of license you have. If you're already an extra, well, maybe you want to get a technician and help somebody else get into the hobby. So congratulations, Glenn. You're going to enjoy that. Thanks, Gordo, for supplying the books for our contest winner there. For next week, well, I've got another question. As a matter of fact, we're going to take it right out of Gordo's general class study guide here. And I thought this was a good question, Gordo. You can see he's flagged these questions so that I get some good ones here for y'all. What signal source is connected to the vertical input of an oscilloscope when checking the RF envelope pattern of a transmitted signal? Is it the local oscillator of the transmitter, an external RF oscillator, the transmitter balanced mixer output, or is it the attenuated RF output of the transmitter? What signal source would you connect to the vertical input of a scope when looking at a transmitted signal? Well, you think you know the answer to that? Well, if you're drawn in our random drawing and you got the right answer there, you might win one of these that we were just talking about, a new microphone for your rig. And this one here is an excellent choice. It's the Heil Gold Elite, special mic designed by Bob to sound great on amateur radio. And it's got a couple of little extra things here on it. It's got a switch on it where you can select for narrow or wideband response. If you're going to be rag chewing, flip it over to wide, and you'll have a good, rich sounding audio coming out of your rig. But if you need to bust a pile up, flip it over to narrow, and you will come out above the crowd. It really brightens up the signal and helps you cut through. Also, there's another switch here. It's a momentary push button, a push-to-talk switch, so that you can key the rig right from the microphone. The Heil Gold Elite, nice microphone for any rig. And if you'd like to win that, well, answer that question there that I just asked out of Gordo's books. Send your answer to me, hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and you might be next week's lucky winner. Well, now, we'll be back in just a moment, but let's get a message from ICOM.
Happy HF holidays. Looking for the perfect gift to put under the tree this holiday season? Unwrap one of ICOM's HF transceivers. The gift every ham wants, ICOM's new 7610, arrived just in time to make it to Santa's sleigh. This high-performance RMDR has the ability to pick out the faintest signals, even in the presence of stronger adjacent signals. The new ICOM IC7610 is a direct sampling software-defined radio that will change the world's definition of a SDR transceiver. RF Direct Sampling System, 110 dB RMDR, independent dual receivers, and dual digicell. A gift for you or your favorite contester, IC7300 is a high-performance HF transceiver with a compact design. Don't miss a weak signal with the combination of the waterfall function and real-time spectrum scope. RF direct sampling, 15 discrete bandpass filters, large 4.3-inch color touchscreen, real-time spectrum scope, and SD memory card slot. Visit ICOMAmerica.com/amateur for more information on all the great ICOM radios this holiday season.
And you can tune in and enter to win after each episode of Ham Nation. Go to ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation and register to win some great swag prizes like T-shirts and hats. While you're there, learn how you can win in the monthly grand prize drawing for a new radio. And I told you we're going to give away some stuff tonight. I gave away Gordo's book. Now I'm going to give away an ICOM ID51A. We talked about it all in November. And we got a lucky winner here. It's John Harvey, K4AGO. He wins that nice ID5100A dual band, dual watch transceiver from ICOM. For December, though, we've got another prize here. It's one we're just looking at on the screen there. It's a compact and submersible ICOM ID31A+, a 5-watt UHF digital transceiver, built-in GPS, micro SD card slot, of course, both analog and D-Star operation, and it's got automatic D-Star repeater list-up function, and a lot more. So after this episode and each episode of Ham Nation, go to icomamerica.com/hamnation and register to win. And that's after each episode of Ham Nation. So that means you've got several times a month that you can throw your name in the hat and, hey, possibly win some great swag or a new radio. So thanks, ICOM, for supporting Ham Nation here for all these years. We couldn't do without you. And now it's time to bring in Amanda. We've been waiting to see what kind of questions you've got here tonight, Amanda. And also, I think you've got something special you wanted to show us.
That's absolutely correct. But first, I'd like to talk about my sister is in Santa Barbara, and she's dealing with this horrible smoke from the Ventura fire. So keep her in your thoughts, everyone. It's and especially both of her kids have asthma, and they can't go outside, and they can't play outside of school. And anyhow, I just wish the best for everyone. And I just read that it's now 90,000 acres, and it's just devastating. So I feel really bad about that. All right, let's go over this. I did the Skywarn Recognition Day event this weekend. Who else did? Tell me on the chat room. First of all, I can't see anything. So Victor, if you just want to scroll through the photos there, this is kind of our setup. We had three different operating positions. Plus we had an APRS station. He was sending out APRS over HF, which I had never even heard of, by the way. So I thought that was pretty cool. And we contacted 32 different National Weather Services. And wow. I don't know how many total contacts we made, but we did have some fun. We're operating CW on the ICOM 7600. That is a G5RV that's hung up there. You know, they're real sticklers on safety there at the NWS. So nobody else could climb the tower except for one of their guys, which was nice of them. Thank you very much for climbing the tower and putting it up. But it just, that's the way it is. So we also had the QRV out there. There it is. I was operating the ICOM 746 out there, and also a small little comm trailer was brought by the Pueblo Ham Club. It was really a blast. This is really the first one I really dug into and said, I'm going to operate and have fun with this. And I brought chili for everyone to eat during the day, although the weather was like 60 degrees, so it's not like we really needed chili or anything like that. But we had a really good turnout, about 25 operators from four different counties. I don't know what else to say about it, except for it was fantastic. And our NWS director, yeah, why are my eyes closed? Come on, I couldn't get a better picture than that. The director there in Pueblo, Colorado, he was retiring. So this was a great finale for him, and he really appreciated it. There's our 7600. They're listening to the bands. They're also paying attention to propagation there on the big screen. It was certainly one of the best times I've ever had. I think, would you agree, Jeff? He's giving the thumbs up saying he approves. So and this was our certificate because we contacted 32 different NWSs. We earned the whole gale. If anyone participated, you could see, like, if you got 1 to 5 contacts, you got the Cumulus Award, and then they had the Cumulus Tower Award. It was really cute how they set it up. So fun times had by all, that's for sure. Let's see. I have, first of all, a couple of announcements, and then we'll get into questions. First announcement is from AK400, the ARRL West Central Florida Convention is this weekend, I believe, and it's the Tampa Bay Ham Fest. So Friday and Saturday, Strawberry Festival Grounds. For more info, go to fgcarc.org, and they look forward to your participation if you can make it. Second, Andy, KE0AYJ, our hero, is back in Puerto Rico, and he's helping set up more repeaters, and he wants us to know that they're going to have a D-Star repeater up in San Juan on December 21st. So, yay, Andy. Thanks for all your hard work down there. And this question, Gordo, is for you. KG5LTL Jim says he's going to Rosiada, New Mexico. And if I pronounce that wrong, I absolutely apologize. He's going to be there from April to October next year and every year thereafter. And he says he doesn't see that there appears to be an Aries group there. How does he go about starting an Aries group? I would start with contacting the section manager. What do you think, Gordo?
Section manager Amanda would be a great way to start. The American Radio Relay League, of course, is the one that is Aries, and one could also go direct to the league, but I like to work up the chain of command. So section manager, great way to get started, and I wish him the very best in New Mexico. I was in the Army at White Sands, and it's a great low-noise area to operate.
All right. Well, thank you for that. And this next question, I'm going to send it over to you, George. AJ6AN, first of all, Gordo, he passed his extra license and he says thanks to you for your books because that's what made him get through it. He wants to know any recommendations for a good first antenna analyzer. He's going to be using HF and 2 meters. What do you say, George?
Oh, there's a lot of choices out there. I'm going to say probably the most popular antenna analyzer ever is the MFJ 259C that is just all over the place. It can do a lot of different type of measurements. Very simple to use, but, you know, there's a lot of choices now. So that's just the first one that comes to mind that I mentioned because there's so many of those out there and people have been using them for years. I know a good bit about it. Personally, I have more antenna analyzers than should be allowed below, and I like them all. And it's hard for me to depart with any of them. There's a lot of nice digital units out there now, but 259C, I'd say, is a good place to start.
Okay. And, you know, he didn't mention a budget. But I'm guessing budget was involved in that helpful picking out an antenna analyzer. Because if budget wasn't a question, Jeff would have the best one here. So,
yes. Now, they also make a real scaled-down version of that that doesn't have the digital readout. It's much simpler. And I want to say maybe Gordo has showed us one of those at one point in the past. I don't know the number of it. But there is a much less expensive MFJ analyzer, and there's a lot of kits and things out there these days, too. But, you know, if I only had one analyzer, I don't know that I would want it to be something that I built from a kit necessarily, because unless you had something to compare it with.
Okay. Well, I'll send the last question over to Don. Don, and I'm not going to mention who asked me this. Someone wants to know, are there resources for hams with Parkinson's disease? And I'm going to say probably yes, along with any other ailment you might have. What do you say, Don?
Wow, interesting question. You know, I have not heard. My grandfather passed away from Parkinson's, so that is near and dear to my heart. I don't know. That Gordo? Is an interesting question. Yeah, see if anyone else knows. And if not, I will try to do some research on that and get back to you next week on that. But okay. I don't know off the top of my head. But I do have some information. Gordo, if you have anything to add before, I've got some information on our friend Jim from Jim's Engraving. Gordon, any information on Amanda's question?
Yes, and Amanda, there are... for each of the manufacturers, remote controls that many folks with Parkinson's are able to operate quite nicely. And I'll do a little research myself because next week I'll try and address that question. And also you wanted to hear the Russian woodpecker. I'll give it to you next week, I promise. And yes, I'm very happy to say that Jim of Jim's Engraving has finally been released from the main hospital, and he's now recuperating. I mean, they took him apart and put him back together. And Jim, being a military man, he's tough. So Jim of Jim's Engraving, everyone loves your great plaques, and we just wish you a very speedy recovery. Thank you, Jim, for helping the Ham Radio Service show our stuff with your great engineering work done on these engraved plaques. Amanda, back to you.
All right. I'm so happy to hear about Jim. And I think I've seen his niece maybe updating on Facebook occasionally about him, but I hadn't seen anything for a while. So that's great news. And thanks, Don, for giving that report as well.
I got an email actually today with some updated information. Yeah, if
Let's
you want it here.
It.
You know, 4 weeks ago, Jim Thibault, KF4NBG, had a major heart attack. He also contracted pneumonia following open heart surgery and silver bypasses. He's doing much better. He was visited on Saturday, November 25th. Was still a little foggy. But they did have a nice conversation with Jim, and that's Jim with Bob Heil right there. Jim does, as Gordon said, all of the call sign plaques for us. On Sunday, November 6th, his daughter Julie reported that his mind had cleared a lot in just 24 hours. He's going to start cardiac rehab soon, and she's hoping for the best. He'd hoped to be home within 3 weeks, but the doctors have a different plan, so he is not home. Tuesday, the 28th of November, he was transferred to the VA hospital. He's currently in Jefferson Barracks, Building 53 South 1. And Jim and Julie welcome visitors. Being able to reconnect with his ham radio family should speed his recovery. And if you'd like to send Jim a get well card, I have an address. You can mail it to Julie. Julie Thibault, T-H-I-B-E-A-U-L-T. Let me give you that again. Julie, and then the last name phonetically is Tango, Hotel, India, Bravo, Echo, Alpha, Uniform, Lima, Tango. I think if you just look up KF4BNG, you'll get all the information. But her address is 4727 Rocky Top Lane in Hillsboro, Missouri, 63056. Put attention, Jim, KF4NBG in the lower left-hand corner, and she will make sure that she gets it to him. So we wish our friend Jim from Jim's Engraving all the best. He does amazing work, and just, man, you're not going to find a sweeter man. So, Jim, we're praying for you and thinking of you, and appreciate the email on that today. So, Amanda, back to you.
All right. Well, thank you. And somebody just posted on our Facebook page about handyhams.org. So look into that, too. They might
That's
be able to help.
That's probably the best place to start for any kind of handicap or any kind of physical ailment that you need help with. That'd be the best place to start. So, yeah, for sure.
I agree. And let's see. I really don't have anything else. I'll talk about the Nets real quick. 71.92 for HF. It looks like 80 meters is a no-go. W7UDI said his noise floor is 9+, so not going to happen. 14 Charlie for the D-Star net. DMR, we have TAC311. And Echo Link, we have the Dewdrop In. I just wanted to talk about D-Star and DMR for just a second. There's several ways, if you don't have those repeaters near you, to get on. And I kind of want to do a segment on this. We personally use a MMDVM, if I said that right. And there's also what you call an open spot. So, and Shark, I think, is another one. They make the open spots. So I really want to talk about those. So all of you that don't have repeaters in your area, but you really want to participate in this stuff, we're going to show you how to do it. That's all I have. Who's wrapping it up?
Okay. All right, Amanda. Thanks for that. And yeah, there's a lot of good hotspots out there that you can do both DMR and D-Star with, as well as Fusion. As a matter of fact, I've got the DV Mega, which will, you know, operate as just like a mini repeater right there in my shack for any of those modes, and it's pretty nice. I got one more thing I want to share before we go tonight, and My friend Tomei, OH7T in Finland, sent us a photo along, and he said, Finland is celebrating 100 years of independence today. So congratulations to all our friends and viewers over in Finland on 100 years of independence.
Wow.
Very amazing. Nice. Congratulations, yes, Finland. Great. Probably listening to us on WTWW shortwave right now.
Well, very That's well right. could be. Tomei is EMT. He does a lot of rescues and a lot of interesting things. It's a real interesting guy, and we correspond frequently. Well, let's go around the horn and wrap it up here. Gordo, any final words from Costa Mesa tonight?
No, and Amanda, we will think good thoughts for all of the folks in the fire region, plus your friends in the fire region. And we still have three more days of intense winds as high as 70 miles per hour in Southern California. Almost unheard of. Everybody have a great weekend coming up. Hope to hear you on the air tonight on 40. George, back to you. And thanks for that great old-time video that's as current as heck.
Oh, thanks, Gordo. Yeah, that's one of those tips that, you know, some things just don't change. And that's kind of one of them. You got to, as Bob says, obey the science. You know, can't argue with it. So, Don, any final words from down south?
Yeah, no fires around here, but we went from 85 and sunshine yesterday to a cold front with rain and 45 today, and they're saying that we may have snow flurries by Friday morning.
Oh, wow.
which explains why my voice is not quite 100%. It's this time of year, it's, you know, you never know what the weather's going to be down south. It can go from one extreme to the other very, very quickly. So, but we're that's the least of our worries. We're keeping all of the folks on the West Coast in the fire region in our thoughts and prayers. And by all means, we wish all of you folks out there the absolute best. Other than that, it's status quo down here, and we're looking forward to being back here next week. George?
Okay, Don. Yeah, and we get, you know, pretty much the same weather here that you get because we're only a few hours apart there.
I
watched the news tonight at 6, and they were talking about the possibility of snow. As a matter of fact, I think they are expecting sleet tonight just south of us here. And I hope it doesn't come any further north because, you know, taking care of all these radio transmitters, you get a little ice on a FM antenna and you got problems. And it doesn't have to be 32 degrees outside because it's a lot colder at 1,000 feet than it is right here on the ground. Yeah. So talk about reflected power. You know, if you're sending 25, 30 kilowatts up to an antenna, there can be a lot of reflected power coming back down if you got ice on your antenna. Amanda, any final words from you?
Two things. First of all, my sister Twyla, yeah, I keep trying to tell her, get your ham radio license. There's earthquakes in California and fires all over the place. Just get your license or get your kids to get their license, please. Second thing, I can't wait. We have our 50-foot tower. We put up 6 strands of lights, and now we got a star on our tower. So we have this huge Christmas tree, and it's a huge, huge spectacle for everyone to drive by and see it. So I'll share a photo of that maybe on here, maybe on Facebook, so you guys can check it out. That's what I've got.
Cool, Amanda. A Christmas display there. You know, I did that for a number of years. I don't have anything on my tower now, but yeah, I did sort of love a Christmas tree with lights and got a star on top. And it's hard to find a star to put on top of a tower, I tell you. I had to look around a long time for that. All right. Thanks, everyone, for joining us tonight. Bob will be back with us next week. And looking forward to another great show. So 73 from Jackson, Mississippi. This is W5JDX.